Hello.
Hello.
You know, it's really exciting to be back here with you guys.
Det er virkelig spændende at være tilbage sammen med jer.
That was it?
That was it. What?
Yeah, the plants need a little watering too while you're at it, I've noticed that. You know, for some, it's old friends week.
For nogle er det bare en weekend for gamle venner.
For others, it's making new friends week.
For andre så handler det om at skabe nye venner.
For me, this is my fourth year doing a conference here.
For mig er det fjerde år, at vi laver en konference her.
Sure, we started out in the Hawaii of Sweden.
Vi startede i.
Who could forget that memorable weekend?
Ja, vi startede et eller andet sted i Sverige, og hvem glemmer ikke, eller hvem husker ikke den uforglemmelige weekend?
We were at the conference center north of Malmo. What was the name of that, Anna? That's right.
Var ved et konferencecenter lige nord for Malmø, som hed Ibusa.
And then in downtown Malmo.
Og så i centrum i Malmø.
And now because we got tired of fika, we're over in Denmark.
Og så fordi vi blev trætte af fika, så er vi flyttet over til Danmark.
And I think it's going to be an exciting time for all of us.
Og jeg tror det bliver virkelig spændende tid for os alle sammen.
So if you're new,
så hvis du er ny her,
we hope by the end of these few days you'll feel like old friends with everybody that's here.
Så håber vi, at når vi kommer til slutningen af den her weekend, at du må føle som om, at det også er gamle venner for dig.
I think I can speak for David as well as myself.
Jeg kan tale for David lige så meget som for mig selv.
That we have labored,
at vi har kæmpet og arbejdet hårdt,
with you guys because we feel God wants to do a work in Scandinavia.
Sammen med jer, fordi vi føler, at Gud vil gøre et arbejde her i Skandinavien.
In reality, it would be more like a first century type of work.
I virkeligheden ville det være mere ligesom et første århundrede form for arbejde eller værk.
Not from the top down, but the bottom up.
Ikke op fra ned, men ned fra op.
Just think of it. People like Stephen, people like Peter, people like James, people like John.
Tænk på folk som Stefan og Peter og Jakob og Johannes.
Yeah. Bad fishermen.
Dårlige fiskere.
People who don't have much of an education.
Folk uden en stor uddannelse.
Becoming world turners.
Vendt verden op på hovedet.
For the work of Jesus Christ.
For Jesus sag.
I have a fan. I don't know about you.
I don't.
Yeah, you gotta suffer. You're real sweating now.
That's fine.
We chose this theme for the conference. We would see Jesus.
Vi valgte temaet for den her konference til, at vi skal se Jesus.
And we're going to try something this weekend by looking at the Gospel of Mark.
Og vi vil forsøge noget den her weekend ved at kigge på og studere nærmere på Markus evangeliet.
Hopefully seeing a portrait of our Savior through the lens of one gospel.
Forhåbentlig kan vi se et portræt af vores frelser igennem linsen af et enkelt evangelie.
And before we get into the gospel, let me kind of give you a background to it.
Og før vi går ind i evangeliet, så lad mig lige give en baggrund på den her historie.
Many believe, I being one of them,
mange tror, og jeg er en af dem,
that Mark's gospel was the first New Testament book written.
At Markus evangeliet var den første Nye Testamente bog, eller bog i det Nye Testamente, som blev skrevet.
Somewhere in the late 40s.
I slutningen af 40'erne.
And it was because he felt that there were people who were now coming to Christ who were not getting exposed to those who knew Christ already in a first-hand experience.
Og det var fordi, at han følte, at der var nogle af dem, som kom til tro på Jesus, som ikke kendte til Jesus fra førstehånds oplevelse.
Some people believe that Mark actually gave the gospel through Peter's eyes.
Peter's what?
Eyes.
Okay. Der er nogen, der tror, at Markus faktisk gav evangeliet gennem Peters øjne.
Nonetheless, whether that is true or not,
uanset om det er sandt eller ej,
we see that the gospel of Mark is a gospel of action.
Så ser vi, at Markus evangeliet er et evangelium med handling.
It does not start with the birth of Jesus.
Det starter ikke med Jesu fødsel.
Nor are we told of his lineage.
Heller ikke med hans generationsliste.
Nor the circumstances surrounding his family.
Heller ikke hans families omstændigheder.
The gospel begins with the baptism in the shores of Galilee, or Jordan River.
Evangeliet begynder med hans dåb ved Jordanfloden.
In fact, some people have said that the Gospel of Mark is the passion story with a long introduction.
Faktisk har nogen sagt, at Markus evangeliet er en passion story, en følelseshistorie med en lang... Oh, Passover.
Okay. Last week of Jesus' life.
At det fokuserer meget på den sidste uge af Jesu liv.
We don't see Jesus as Lord.
Vi ser ikke Jesus som herre.
We don't see him reflected as just a man or a king.
Vi ser ham heller ikke skildret som bare en mand eller en konge.
But Mark gives to us a picture of Jesus as the servant.
Men Markus tegner et billede af Jesus som tjeneren.
But not a servant who sits around the house lazily waiting for something to do.
Men ikke en doven tjener, som bare venter i huset på et eller andet at lave.
We find actually he is a man of action.
Han er faktisk en mand af handling.
In fact, one of the key phrases or key words in the English,
en af nøgleordene på i engelsk version,
is immediately.
Øjeblikkelig.
You get the idea that this happened and then immediately this happened and then this happened and immediately this happened.
Altså I forstår, når der er skrevet noget, så står der, og med det samme gjorde han, og øjeblikkeligt gjorde han.
And you'll notice that it starts, as I said, with the baptism at the Jordan River.
Og som jeg nævnte før, så starter den med hans dåb ved Jordanfloden.
Here we are introduced to the anointing work.
Her bliver vi introduceret til det salvede arbejde eller værk.
Of the Holy Spirit upon the second person of the Trinity.
Af Helligåndens indflydelse på
Godhed.
Og på ja, en anden person i treenigheden.
Who sets about the task of serving his creation.
Som sætter sig for at tjene sin egen skabelse.
Obviously the first thing that we see is after his baptism.
Det første vi ser åbenlyst lige efter hans dåb.
He's taken out into the wilderness to be tempted.
Så bliver han taget ud i vildnæsset for at blive fristet.
This taking is by the Holy Spirit.
Han bliver taget derud ved Helligånden.
It is part of the plan of God.
Det er en del af Guds plan.
In fact, if we look at the story, we discover that the testing of Jesus, which he passed, was the exact testing of Adam and Eve, which they failed.
Faktisk, hvis vi ser på hans fristelse, så ser vi, at det har store sammenligning med den fristelse, som Adam og Eva gennemgik.
For in the case of Adam and Eve, they gave in to their flesh, they gave in to their earthly desires, they gained what they thought were gaining, if you will.
Ja, for i Adam og Evas tilfælde, så gav de efter for kødets lyster og... the last thing again?
If you will.
Ja, hvis du ser på det sådan.
All that God had the easy way.
Gud havde det ikke på den nemme måde.
Whereas Jesus, after his time of fasting,
hvorimod Jesus lige efter hans tid, hvor han fastede,
at his point of greatest weakness,
der hvor han var allermest svag,
was put in a place to where he faced the exact same test.
Der var han placeret i en situation, hvor han var stillet over for præcis den samme test.
And the reason he faced this test was that he might pass.
Og grunden til, at han blev stillet over for den her fristelse, var, at han skulle bestå den testen her.
Why is it so significant for him to pass this test?
Hvorfor er det så betydeligt og vigtigt, at han skulle bestå den her test?
Paul tells us in Romans that Jesus was to be the last Adam.
Paul fortæller os i Romerbrevet, at Jesus skulle være den sidste Adam.
If he failed the test, he would not be fulfilling the role of last Adam.
Sorry.
Did I run ahead of you?
Yeah, you did.
You're okay, man.
Yeah, well, that's my first time.
Okay. If he failed the test, he would not have been the perfect sacrifice that God had for mankind.
Hvis han ikke bestod prøven, så ville han ikke være det perfekte offer, som Gud havde for menneskeheden.
Well, as we move on, I want to highlight a particular story for us.
Som når vi går videre, så der vil jeg gerne fremhæve en bestemt historie her for os.
We actually notice in the first three chapters that after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River,
vi ser at i de første tre kapitler efter han blev døbt i Jordanfloden,
makes his way into the Judean wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights.
Går ind i Judæa vildnæsset i 40 dage og 40 nætter.
Was tempted there.
Blev fristet der.
And then he moves his base of operation to Capernaum.
Og så flytter han sin base af operationer til Capernaum.
In fact, it happens to be one of my favorite places to go in Israel.
Og det er faktisk en af mine yndlingssteder at tage hen, når jeg er i Israel.
Why is that?
Hvorfor det?
I'm glad I asked.
Jeg er glad for, at jeg spurgte.
Because so many things happened in this town.
Fordi der skete så mange ting i den her by.
Because it was the center of his ministry for what is called the Great Galilean ministry.
Fordi det var centrum for hans store tjeneste, som blev kaldt den store galileiske tjeneste.
Where he would go out from there and do something and then come back.
Han ville gå ud derfra og lave nogle udøve nogle ting og så komme tilbage igen.
And go out in another direction and come back.
Så gå ud i en ny retning og så igen vende tilbage.
Cruise across the Sea of Galilee and come back.
Over Galileahavet og så tilbage igen.
And of course he picked many of his disciples from that town.
Og han valgte også mange af hans disciple fra den her by.
Peter,
Peter,
James,
Jakob,
John,
Johannes,
Matthew,
Matthæus,
were all people who were from that community.
Var alle fra det her samfund.
Now, let's look at a particular event.
Lad os prøve at se på en bestemt hændelse.
We are going to pick it up in the spot that I'm going to pick it up at.
Vi starter et sted, som jeg prøver at lede efter.
In chapter 3.
Kapitel 3.
It says in verse 1.
Det står i vers 1.
He entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand.
Jesus gik atter ind i synagogen, og der var en mand med en vissen hånd.
And he watched him closely.
Og de holdt øje med ham.
Whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him.
For at se om Jesus ville helbrede ham på sabbatten, så de kunne anklage ham.
By this time, Jesus' reputation had grown to a point.
På det her tidspunkt, der havde Jesus rygte vokset sig så stort.
Where people were following him.
At folk fulgte efter ham.
For good reasons and bad.
For gode grunde og for dårlige grunde.
The good reasons were they saw him as a teacher, a rabbi, a messiah.
De gode grunde var, at de så ham som en stor underviser og en rabbi, en messias.
For bad.
Og de dårlige grunde.
There were Pharisees.
Der havde vi farisæerne.
Sadducees.
Sadukæerne.
People who had hardened their hearts to the gospel.
Folk som havde forhærdet deres hjerter over for evangeliet.
Oh, they looked religious on the outside.
De så godt nok meget religiøse ud på udadtil.
They had the bumper stickers.
De havde klistermærkerne bag på bilen.
They had the Christian t-shirts.
De havde de kristne t-shirts.
They even had the big Bibles.
De havde de store bibler.
But there was nothing going on in their heart.
Men der foregik ikke rigtig noget ind i deres hjerte.
And he went in on a Sabbath day.
Og han gik ind på sabbatdagen.
We read in verse 2, so they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him.
Og vi ser i vers 2, at de holdt meget tæt øje med ham, for at se, om han ville helbrede på sabbaten, så de kunne anklage ham.
Notice the attitude.
Bemærk deres holdning.
They weren't there to see what wonderful things Jesus would do.
De var ikke kommet for at se de vidunderlige ting, som Jesus ville.
They were there to look and see if they could attack him.
De var der for at se, om de kunne angribe ham på en eller anden måde.
And what is amazing to me about this whole thing?
Og det der er utroligt for mig i den her hele den her historie.
Is that Jesus knew this?
Er at Jesus vidste det.
And knowing this.
Og selvom han vidste.
Didn't deter him from what he was going to do.
Så afvæg det ham ikke fra det han havde tænkt sig at udrette.
We read in verse 3.
Vi læser i vers 3.
And he said to the man who had the withered hand.
Og han sagde til manden med den visne hånd.
Step forward.
Rejs dig.
Now have you ever noticed someone who has a physical deformity?
Har I nogensinde lagt mærke til nogen som har en fysisk deformhed?
Have you ever noticed how society generally treats someone who has a physical deformity?
Har I nogensinde lagt mærke til hvordan samfundet behandler folk som har en fysisk handicap?
Oh yes, we live in an enlightened age.
Ja, vi lever godt nok i en veloplyst tid.
21st century where we're advanced individuals.
Det 21. århundrede hvor vi er nået langt hver enkelt individ.
But see someone with a physical deformity.
Men hvis du ser nogen med et fysisk handicap.
Children will stare.
Så glor børnene.
People will gasp.
Folk vil gispe efter dem.
Some will even be so rude as to rebuke or laugh or ridicule that person.
Nogle vil endda være så onde, at de griner af dem eller gør nar af dem.
Now imagine for a moment this man.
Forestil dig for et øjeblik den her mand.
You're not living in an enlightened age like today.
I lever ikke i den samme tidsalder som vi gør.
When people would see your withered hand, they wouldn't just be polite about it.
Hvis folk så din visne hånd, så ville de ikke bare være høflige.
They would point, they would stare.
De ville pege og gøre nar.
And even from society, there was a hint that you were somehow cursed by God.
Og fra samfundets, i samfundets syn, så var der et strejf af, at du var på en eller anden måde forbandet af Gud.
Or you had sinned.
Og du havde syndet.
And brought this calamity upon yourself.
Og du var selv skyldig, at du havde den her lidelse.
Yet in your heart you knew.
Men ind i dit hjerte, der vidste du godt.
That you wanted to encounter God.
At du ønskede at møde Gud.
And you wanted to touch him and have him touch you.
Og røre ved ham og have ham røre ved dig.
And so here was this man in the synagogue who had this withered hand.
Og her har vi så den her mand i synagogen, som havde den her visne hånd.
And what we see is that he favored this hand, and by that I mean that he probably held his other hand over it.
Og vi så, at han tildækkede sin hånd, og måske havde sin anden hånd over den.
Hid it under his cloak.
Gemte den måske over, under hans ærme.
Made his way in the back or side door.
Måske gik om bag ved sidedøren, bagdøren.
Sat in a shadow so people wouldn't notice.
Blev i skyggerne, så folk ikke lagde mærke til det.
Tried to blend in.
Forsøg bare at mænge sig med mængden.
And Jesus.
Og Jesus.
Asked this man to stand up.
Spurgte den her mand og bad den her mand om at komme frem.
What do you think everybody in the room is going to do?
Hvad tror du enhver i lokalet havde tænkt sig?
They're all going to watch.
De havde alle sammen tænkt sig at kigge på.
To see what happens.
For at se hvad der nu sker.
And then Jesus says to him.
Så siger Jesus til ham.
In verse 4, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?
Og i vers 4 siger han, er det tilladt at gøre noget godt eller gøre noget ondt på en sabbat, at frelse liv eller slå ihjel?
Remember, Jesus had this man stand up before he said anything.
Husk, at Jesus fik den her mand til at stille sig frem, før han overhovedet har sagt noget.
Can you feel the tension in the room building?
Kan du føle hele spændingen i lokalet?
What is he saying here? What does he mean by this? The people in their minds are probably thinking.
Folk står sikkert og tænker, hvad er det han mener? Hvad er det han, hvad vil han med det her?
But the man with the withered hand is going, why am I standing up?
Men manden med den visne hånd spørger, hvorfor er det mig der står her?
Look at the next verse.
Så se på næste vers.
And when he had looked around at them with anger.
Og han så rundt på dem med vrede.
Being grieved by the hardness of their hearts.
Og bedrøvet over deres forhærdede hjerter.
Have you ever thought about the picture of Jesus that is in your mind?
Har du nogensinde tænkt nærmere over det billede du har af Jesus i dit sind?
The picture of Jesus that is usually painted by Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo or some director.
Det billede, som der ofte er tegnet af Jesus af Michelangelo eller Da Vinci eller en anden.
Have you ever noticed that when they put Jesus in a scene, he's always the one who's meek and mild?
Har du nogensinde lagt mærke til, at når de putter Jesus ind i en eller anden scene eller en handling, så er det altid Jesus, der er venlig venlig over for folk og stille.
But meek and mild usually means the underweight guy who could get easily beaten up on the street.
Men venlig og tilbageholdende eller normalt den fyr, som var tyndt bygget og altid ville få tæsk af alle de andre.
You don't get a sense of one who would get angry and grieved.
Man får ikke det indtryk af en person, som vil blive vred og bedrøvet.
Yet look at what angered him. Yet look at what angered him.
Men kig på, hvad det var, der gjorde ham vred.
The hardness of men's hearts.
De forhærdede hjerter for de her mennesker.
That right in front of them was the Lord of glory. Right in front of them was God's revelation.
Lige foran dem stod Gud i sin herlighed og åbenbaret foran deres eget åsyn.
And their attitude is, I don't believe it. I don't hear it. I don't see it.
Og deres holdning er, jeg er her ikke. Jeg ser det ikke. Jeg tror ikke på det.
And you know, unfortunately, we see a lot of people like that today, don't we?
Og beklageligvis så ser vi mange, der har det præcis på samme måde i dag.
And it grieves my heart.
Og det bedrøver mit hjerte.
And in a certain sense, there's a little righteous indignation or anger that comes into play too.
Og til en vis grad er også en vis form for retfærdig vrede, som kommer ind i spillet også.
How simple is it?
Hvor nemt er det?
How simple is it to believe in Jesus? How simple is it to receive his gift of grace? How simple is it to have all that heaven affords for us.
Hvor nemt er det at tro på Jesus, og hvor nemt er det at modtage alt det, som himlen og som Gud har for os.
But will heal people say, well, unless I see him heal someone, and they set up a scenario, they set up a contest that God has to pass the test.
Men i stedet så sætter de visse krav op til Gud om, at han skal gøre det, og han skal gøre det andet, før at de vil.
And they'll say, I will not believe unless he jumps through my hoop.
Og de siger, jeg vil ikke tro på ham, før han springer igennem min ring.
The hardness of man's heart.
Menneskets forhærdede hjerter.
But you know what's amazing me?
Men ved du, hvad det er, der forundrer mig?
Is that even though he was angry at them,
men selvom han var vred på dem,
even though he was grieved by the hardness of their heart,
selvom han var bedrøvet over deres hårdhed af hjertet,
he didn't zap the room.
Så udslettede han ikke hele lokalet.
If we were angry,
hvis det var os, der var vrede,
if we were grieved,
hvis det var os, der var bedrøvet,
if we were upset at these people,
hvis det var os, der var sure på de her mennesker,
and we had his power,
og vi havde hans magt,
we'd kind of go.
Så havde de ikke holdt ret længe.
Like those bug zappers.
Ligesom de der insektdræbere.
Do you have bug zappers here?
I don't know, do we?
You know what they are, though.
Yeah,
you
know.
Saw them in Monterey, where they.
Specielt redskab der slår insekter ihjel med sådan en sap. Jeg tror ikke vi har dem her.
But look what he does.
Men se hvad han gør.
He says to the man, "Stretch out your hand."
Han siger til manden, ræk din hånd frem.
Now you know this man could have been like the Pharisees.
Men den her mand kunne sagtens have været ligesom farisæerne.
He could have said no.
Han kunne have sagt nej.
He could have said, "I'm not going to do that."
Han kunne have sagt nej, det vil jeg ikke.
But he stretched out his hand.
Men han strakte den frem.
And as he stretched it out, his hand was restored as whole as the other.
Og i det han strakte sin hånd frem, så blev den lige så hel som den anden var.
As he stretched it out, the one became like the other.
Og i det han strakte den frem, blev den ene fuldstændig ligesom den anden var.
In the midst of his anger, in the midst of his being affected by the grieving of the hardness of these people's hearts, he worked wonders on behalf of people.
Selv midt i hans vrede og den påvirkning han havde af de hårde hjerter som menneskene havde, jamen så udøvede han stadigvæk under mirakler.
And you know the amazing thing about it?
Og det fantastiske ved det er,
not just the healing.
Ikke kun helbredelsen.
I mean, granted, that is amazing.
Selv det er jo fantastisk.
What's amazing is he knew that there were people there that were going to try and get evidence against him, and he gave them an act that they, through the hardness of their heart, would eventually use to bring him to the cross.
Han vidste, at selvom der var mennesker der, som havde tænkt sig at bruge det her imod ham, så udøvede han stadigvæk en gerning, en god gerning, som han vidste, at de ville prøve at vende imod ham.
He still stepped into the gap.
Han trådte stadigvæk ind i midten, ja.
And moved forward with God's plan.
Og gik fremad med Guds plan.
Now, there's a couple things we can learn from this story.
Der er en del ting vi kan lære fra den her historie.
One of the things that we can learn from the story is that maybe you're that man with a withered hand.
En af de ting vi kan lære fra historien er, at måske er du en ligesom den mand med den visne hånd.
But we may look around the room and say, well, no, wait a minute, both my hands work well.
Det kan også være, at vi kigger over og siger, nej, det er ikke mig. Begge mine hænder virker fint.
No, but maybe you have something in your life.
Men måske har du noget i dit liv.
Something in your life that has brought you up short.
Et eller andet i dit liv, som gør, at du mangler et eller andet.
Something in your life that you would tend to hide in the shadows.
Noget som i dit liv, som du prøver at gemme ude i skyggerne.
Something in your life that you would be slightly embarrassed about.
Et eller andet i dit liv, som du er delvist flov over det.
Something in your life that maybe times you beg God, will you touch me and heal me?
Noget i dit liv, som måske får dig til at trylle Gud om at røre ved dig.
You know the amazing thing in this story.
Det utrolige i den her historie.
Along with the 12 other amazing things I've told you.
Sammen med de 12 andre fantastiske ting jeg har fortalt jer om.
Is that in order for this man to get touched by Jesus?
At for at den her mand kunne blive rørt af Jesus.
He had to be embarrassed by Jesus first.
Så var han nødt til først at blive gjort til skamme af Jesus først.
What do I mean by embarrassed?
Ja, ydmyget. Hvad mener jeg med ydmyget?
Was that Jesus put him up to ridicule?
Var det at Jesus gjorde ham til grin?
No, it was that in order for him to receive, he had to obey, and to obey, he had to reveal his lacking condition.
Nej, det var for at han kunne modtage, så var han nødt til at åbenbare den fejl han havde.
You see, there are times when we as Christians,
for der er tider hvor vi som kristne,
cry out to God in our closet.
Ja, beder, råber ud til Gud fra vores skab.
Oh God, touch me. Oh God, heal me. Oh God, restore me.
Oh God, Gud, Gud rør mig, helbred mig, sæt mig op igen.
And he might say to us, go pray, have this person pray for you.
Og det kan godt være, han så siger til os, gå hen og få den her person til at bede for dig.
Have this person know about that weak area.
Fortæl den her person om det svage område i dit liv.
And we might say, oh no.
Og det kan godt være, hvis jeg siger, nej, den går ikke.
Can't you just heal me quietly?
Kan du ikke bare helbrede mig stille og roligt?
Maybe while I'm in the bathtub.
Måske mens jeg er i badekarret.
No one will know.
Der er ikke nogen, der vil vide det.
Jesus says no.
Jesus siger nej.
I need to maybe embarrass you.
Nej, jeg er nødt til at ydmyge dig.
Because I want to heal you.
Fordi jeg vil helbrede dig.
Well, we see another place here that I want to highlight for us today. It's taken a little bit out of order, and you'll bear with me on that.
Der er et andet sted, jeg meget gerne vil fremhæve. Det er taget lidt ud af sammenhæng, men
it was in the same city.
Det var den samme by.
But it was in a slightly different location. You see, in Capernaum, there's the synagogue that's there.
Men det var en lidt anden omgivelser, for der er nogle forskellige dele af den her by Capernaum.
And that's where Jesus touched the man who had the paralytic hand, the withered hand.
Og i synagogen var der, hvor Jesus han rørte ved manden med den visne hånd.
But just down the street,
men lidt ned ad gaden,
a few houses over,
et par huse væk derfra,
was a house.
Der var der et hus.
It was Peter's house.
Det var Peters hus.
It was a house that became, in a sense, the center of Jesus' operation in Capernaum.
Det blev efterhånden til Jesus' center eller centrum, base, når han var i Capernaum.
And he was in the house.
Og han var her i huset.
And a crowd gathered.
Og der var en skare, der samlede sig.
But this is not an ordinary crowd. This is a really big crowd.
Men det er ikke bare en almindelig skare. Det var en rigtig stor skare.
This is a crowd that's so big.
Det var en skare, der var så stor,
that you can't fit one more body inside the house.
Der kunne ikke være plads til en mere.
Imagine that. People packed together so tightly.
Prøv at forestille jer, det er menneskene, der er pakket så tæt sammen i det her hus.
They're not only packed inside the house, they're sitting around the perimeter of the outside of the house.
Ikke bare de fuldstændig proppet op inde i huset, de sidder også udenfor på grunden, der tilhører huset.
And we read in verse 2 of chapter 2.
Og vi læser i vers 2 i kapitel 2.
That key word,
at han var
immediately.
What does it say in yours? Is that immediately?
Yeah, nøgleord, the key word.
Yeah,
immediately. Ja, straks, øjeblikkeligt.
Many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door.
Der samlede sig så mange mennesker, at der ikke engang var plads uden for døren.
And he preached the word to them.
Han talte ordet til dem.
First thing I want you to notice is that Jesus loved to preach the word.
Det første jeg vil have, skal lægge mærke til, er, at Jesus elskede at prædike Guds ord.
He said the following: Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away.
Han sagde, himmel og jord vil forgå, men mit ord vil aldrig forgå.
God even says in the book of Psalms that he honors his word above his name.
Og Gud siger også i salmerne, at han ærer sit ord over sit eget navn.
You know what? That struck me profoundly the last couple of months.
Og det slog mig på en utrolig måde her de sidste par måneder.
Because if we look in Exodus chapter 20, we see how highly God regards his name.
Fordi hvis vi kigger i 2. Mosebog, så ser vi hvor højt Gud han anser sit eget navn.
For in Exodus 20, the very first commandment,
for i 2. Mosebog,
is that you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
For i kapitel 20 i 2. Mosebog, der ser vi at det første bud er at man ikke skal misbruge Herrens navn.
That it would not be of null and effect, if you will.
At det ikke bare vil være uden effekt, når man bruger det.
But he says, I honor my word above my name.
Han siger, men jeg ærer mit ord over mit navn.
And so here he is in the house, preaching the word.
Så her er han i huset, og han prædiker ordet.
That's why it's vitally important for us to be in the word.
Det er derfor, det er så vitalt for os, at vi er i ordet.
And be in a place where the word is preached.
Og være et sted, hvor Guds ord bliver prædiket til os.
Because faith comes by hearing.
Fordi tro kommer ved at høre.
And hearing by the word of God.
Og høre, det kommer ved at ved Guds ord.
It doesn't say faith comes by fellowshipping.
Der står ikke at tro kommer ved at have fællesskab.
Or faith comes by communion.
eller tro kommer ved nadver.
Or faith comes by fika.
Eller tro kommer ved fika.
Sorry, I just can't get over that. You know, it's just it was a bonding there.
Jeg kan ikke komme over det.
But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Men tro kommer ved at høre, og høre kommer ved Guds ord.
And Jesus is in this house preaching the word of God.
Og Jesus er i det her hus, og han prædiker Guds ord til dem.
And what was amazing is the house was packed.
Og det der var utroligt var, at huset var pakket.
This may be self-serving, but I believe that if the word is preached, people will come and hear the word.
Det kan godt være, at det er selvfortjenende, men hvis Guds ord bliver prædiket, så vil folk komme.
And you can never go wrong with the word.
Og du kan aldrig gå galt i byen med Guds ord.
People may say, "What do you feel?"
Folk siger, "Hvad føler du?"
"What do you think?"
"Hvad tænker du?"
"What's your opinion?"
"Hvad er din mening?"
If you give them your opinion, it may change next year.
Hvis du får en mening, så kan det være, at den ændrer sig næste år.
Just like fashions.
Ligesom moden.
Some of us are embarrassed to admit that we had polyester leisure suits at one time.
Nogle af os er måske flove at indrømme, at vi havde polyester jakkesæt engang.
Did you ever pull out an old photograph?
Har du nogensinde trukket et gammelt
fotografi? And put your hand over part of it just to show the head, because you didn't want them to see what you thought was really cool fashion at that time.
Og dække din hånd over, så du kun kan se dit hoved, fordi du ikke vil have folk skal se, hvad du synes der var enormt cool.
And so we realize opinions change.
Så vi indser, at holdninger skifter.
But the word of God never changes.
Men Guds ord ændrer sig ikke.
And we'll never get in trouble with the word of God.
Vi kommer aldrig i problemer med Guds ord.
Well, he's there preaching.
Og han er her, og han prædiker.
And these men,
og de her mænd,
who were friends of this man who was paralytic,
som var venner til en mand, som var lam.
He was paralytic to such a degree that he was on a couch. He was on a bed.
Han var lam i sådan en grad, at han lå på en båre.
And he could not move without the aid of his friends.
Og han kunne ikke bevæge sig uden hjælp fra hans venner.
And so his friends saw that he had a need.
Så hans venner så, at han havde et behov.
And they brought him to Jesus.
Og de bragte ham til Jesus.
Maybe you have a friend who's in need.
Det kan være, du har en ven, som har et behov.
Maybe you have a friend who is afflicted.
Måske har du en ven, som
Maybe you have a friend who is in bondage.
Måske har du en ven, som er under
The only bond. Way, sorry.
Yeah. En ven, som er bundet, som er under.
The only way to overcome that.
Den eneste måde du kan overvinde det på
is to bring him to Jesus.
Er ved at bringe dem til Jesus.
And so they bring him, the four of them, imagine it.
Så de fire, prøv at forestille, de fire af dem bringer ham her til Jesus.
Carrying him up to the house with high hopes.
Og de bærer ham helt op til huset med store forhåbninger.
They hear his voice.
De hører hans stemme.
They sense the crowd.
De fornemmer hele skaren.
And they start looking for a way to get in.
Og de prøver at lede efter en måde, de kan komme ind i huset på.
There's no room.
Men der er ikke plads.
And they go around the building.
Og de går hele vejen rundt om bygningen.
Have you ever done that?
Har du nogensinde gjort det?
Thinking, oh well, I could get in the back way.
Hvor du tænker, det kan være, jeg kan komme ind.
I can get in the side way.
Eller fra siden af.
Maybe there's a shortcut over here.
Måske der en genvej herover.
There's a line that's shorter here I could go through.
Der er en kø, der er lidt kortere herover.
You know, one time I have to tell you.
Der var en gang, det er nødt til at fortælle.
This is where I digress. I trail off.
Oh, hvor jeg kom af spore.
I was at a home repair store one day.
Jeg var ved sådan en hjemme håndværksforretning.
And I was somewhat in a hurry.
Og jeg skulle skynde mig ret meget.
Have you ever had that?
Har du nogensinde oplevet det?
And so I'm standing in the line.
Så jeg står i køen.
And it's not moving.
Og den bevæger sig overhovedet ikke.
Because somebody's doing a return or a problem with their money or something like that.
Fordi der er nogen, der skal bytte et eller andet, eller der er problemer.
So I switch. Oops. I switch lines.
Så jeg skifter kø.
And as soon as I switch lines, that line stopped.
Og så snart som jeg skiftede kø, så stopper den kø.
And the four people who were behind me on the other line, that line started moving.
Og de fire mennesker, som var bag mig i den anden kø, den gamle kø, så begynder den at bevæge.
And so I'm sitting there waiting.
Så jeg sidder der og venter.
While everybody who was in that line with me are already out in the parking lot.
Mens alle dem, der var i den gamle kø, allerede.
And my line's not moving.
Og min kø bevæger sig.
But I'm too embarrassed to go back to my old line.
Men jeg er alt for flov til at gå tilbage til den gamle.
So I switch to a third line.
Så jeg går over til en tredje kø.
And I'm standing in a third line when this guy brings in this stuff that wanted refunds and he wanted discounts and he wanted all sorts of other things. And so the other two lines that I was in.
Easy now.
Yeah, easy.
Så står jeg i den tredje kø her, der kommer en ind med en masse ting, som han gerne vil have byttet, og han vil have pengene tilbage, og der er en masse problemer.
They left the store.
Og de forlod butikken.
They left the parking lot.
Dem som var i de andre køer havde forladt butikken og forladt parkeringspladsen.
They're home having dessert.
De allerede hjemme og havde dessert.
I'm still standing in line.
Men jeg står stadigvæk i køen.
There were people who walked into the building.
Der var folk som kom ind i bygningen.
While I was standing on the first line.
Mens jeg stod i den første kø.
And they've already left the building.
Og de havde allerede taget afsted igen.
And I'm still standing in line.
Og jeg står her stadigvæk.
So I can identify with these four guys.
Så jeg kan virkelig identificere mig med de her fire mænd.
They're looking fine in the spot.
De prøver at finde en udvej.
There's nothing for them.
Der er ikke noget for dem.
And then they come up with a bright idea.
Og så kommer de med en strålende idé.
They somehow maneuver.
På en eller anden måde får de manøvret.
To get on the roof.
Borgen op på taget.
And on top of the roof, they begin. Sorry.
Ja, op på taget begynder de.
Tearing the roof apart.
Og skille taget af.
Now notice what it says in verse 4.
Læg mærke til, hvad det siger i vers 4.
When they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying.
Men da de ikke kunne komme hen til Jesus for de mange mennesker, fjernede de taget over det sted, hvor han var, og da de havde lavet hul, sænkede de borgen ned med den lamme.
Have you ever noticed we tend to read our Bible with special eyes?
Har nogensinde lagt mærke til, at vi nogle gange har den tendens til at læse vores Bibel med specielle øjne?
What do I mean by specialized? We go, oh, how nice. They ripped up the house.
Hvad mener jeg med specielle øjne? Vi tænker, nah, det var da dejligt, de skilte taget ad.
But think about this for a moment. We're in a meeting like this.
Men prøv at tænke på det. Vi sidder i et møde ligesom det her.
We're having a great time in the Word.
Vi har rigtig godt i Guds ord.
And all of a sudden we hear a noise on the roof.
Og lige pludselig så hører vi en larm op på taget.
What are you going to do?
Hvordan vil du reagere?
Are you going to kind of go and be cool about it?
Begynder du at skimme op uden at,
you know, not throw your head up, but just sort of glance up.
Uden at lade som om, at der er noget galt.
But then you notice something else happening.
Så lægger du mærke til, at der er noget andet, der er ved at ske.
You start noticing that somebody's tearing up the roof.
Så begynder du at lægge mærke til, at der er nogen, der er ved at ødelægge taget.
Right in the middle, in front of all of us, imagine right here, there's dirt falling down on the ground.
Prøv at forestille lige her foran os, at der begynder at falde skidt ned fra taget.
There's stuff being peeled back from the roof.
Folk der, ting der bliver skrællet fra op på taget.
What are you going to look at?
Hvad vil du kigge på?
What are you going to focus your attention on?
Hvad tror du vil fokusere på?
Now you know one of the wonderful things about this location.
En af de vidunderlige ting ved den her, ved de her faciliteter.
Is that we're in this really nice room.
Ja, vi er i det her dejlige lokale.
But we have this picture window right next to us.
Men vi har sådan en glasvindue lige ved siden af os.
And I have the advantage of watching all of your faces.
Og jeg har den fordel, jeg kan sidde og se alle jeres ansigter.
And there's a little noise on the window.
Og der er en lille lyd over fra vinduet.
And I can tell who are the parents and who aren't.
Og jeg kan se, hvem der er forældre og hvem der ikke er.
Because those who aren't parents, they're looking at me.
For dem der ikke er forældre, de kigger på mig.
Those who are parents do this.
Dem der er forældre, de sidder og kigger sådan her.
And then if there's still a little more, it's a boom. And a little boom like that. And you almost feel like as a teacher,
og som en underviser, så har du det næsten som
you want to move over here.
Du har lyst til at gå derover.
And teach next to the window.
Og stå undervise lige over ved siden af vinduet.
But here's Jesus standing in the middle of this room.
Men her står Jesus midt i det her rum.
Roof is being ripped up.
Taget er ved at blive skrællet fra hinanden.
And this guy's coming down.
Og den her fyr bliver sunket ned.
Don't translate
no,
that.
You got that.
Down to the ground.
Helt ned til jorden.
And then Jesus looks at the man.
Så kigger Jesus på manden.
And he says to him,
han siger til ham,
son, your sins are forgiven you.
Søn, dine synder tilgives dig.
Time out.
Time out. That's what we call it. Yeah.
One arm bandit. If I'm the guy on the roof,
hvis det var mig, der var oppe på taget.
And I spent all this time,
og jeg havde brugt al den her tid,
hauling this guy over to see Jesus.
For at slæbe den her fyr hele vejen over for at se Jesus.
And I spent all this effort ripping up this ceiling.
Og jeg bruger al den her kraft og styrke på at få taget slået stykker.
I don't want some bishop don-de-don-don thing going on.
Så har jeg ikke lyst til at se en eller anden biskop ting foregå.
I want him to heal my friend.
Så vil jeg have, at jeg skal helbrede min ven.
But notice what Jesus did.
Men læg mærke til, hvad Jesus han gør.
He set it up on purpose.
Han satte det op helt med vilje.
Because there were scribes in the crowd.
Fordi der var skriftkloge i forsamlingen.
Dun, da, dun, dun. They were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts.
Og de her skriftkloge sad og prøvede at få noget mening ud af det i deres hjerter.
Verse 7. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?
Og de sidder og tænker for sig selv i vers 7. Hvad er det dog, han siger? Han spotter Gud. Hvem kan tilgive synder andre end en, nemlig Gud?
And you know what? They're right.
Og ved du hvad? De har ret.
The only one who has the power to forgive sins is God.
Den eneste, der har magt til at tilgive synd, det er Gud.
And Jesus set it up so they would ask the right question.
Og Jesus han havde tilrettelagt det sådan, at de ville spørge det helt rigtige spørgsmål.
You know, if he had immediately healed the man,
hvis han havde helbredt manden med det samme,
he wouldn't have gotten the bigger point across.
Så havde han ikke fået dem til at forstå det dybere budskab.
Because he said, "Your sins are forgiven you."
Fordi han sagde, at dine synder er tilgivet.
These people realized.
Så indså de her mennesker.
We got a problem here.
At vi har et problem her.
Because God alone is the only one who can forgive sins.
Det er kun Gud, der kan tilgive synder.
And so it says,
så står der,
but immediately, verse 8, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves.
Men da Jesus med det samme så i sin ånd, så vidste han straks, at de tænkte sådan ved sig selv.
He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk?
Og han sagde så til dem, hvorfor tænker I sådan i jeres hjerter? Hvad er det letteste at sige til den lamme? Din synder tilgives dig, eller sige, rejs dig, tag din borger og gå.
They're equally impossible for man.
Det er lige umuligt for mennesker at udrette de her to ting.
They're equally opportunistic for God.
Men de er lige mulige for Gud.
Man cannot forgive sins.
Mennesker kan ikke tilgive synder.
Man cannot heal.
Mennesker kan ikke helbrede.
God can heal.
Gud kan godt helbrede.
And God can forgive sins.
Og Gud kan også godt tilgive synder.
And the way he brought it forth,
og den måde han bragte det frem på,
is that if he can work the visible,
er at hvis han kunne udøve det synlige for dem,
then we must acknowledge he works the invisible.
Så må vi også erkende at han også udøver de usynlige ting for os.
If he has the power to forgive sin,
hvis han har magt til at tilgive synd,
we can accept that because we have seen him exhibit the power to heal.
Så kan vi acceptere det og forstå det bedre, fordi vi har set at han også har magt til at helbrede.
And that's what he says in verse 10.
Og det er det han siger i vers 10.
But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins.
Men for at I kan vide at menneskesønnen har myndighed til at tilgive synder på jorden.
He said to the paralytic.
Sagde han til den lamme.
I say to you, rise, take up your bed and go to your house.
Jeg siger dig, rejs dig, tag din borg og gå hjem.
Now that's a bold statement.
Det er en meget modig.
It's a foolish statement.
Det er også en fjollet sætning.
If he can't do it.
Hvis han ikke også kan udføre det.
It's a bold statement.
Det er en modig ting at sige.
And a wonderful statement.
Og en vidunderlig ting at sige.
If you have the power.
Hvis man har magten til det.
To do it. A hush falls over the crowd.
Og der bliver straks stille blandt hele skaren.
The attention is now turned back to this man sitting on the couch.
Og al opmærksomheden rettes igen til den her mand, som sidder tilbage på sofaen.
Jesus has verbalized out loud what they thought in their mind.
Jesus har sagt højlydt, hvad de alle sammen tænkte i deres sind.
Every eye on the place and in the hole in the roof.
alle øjne, som er i rummet, og alle dem
is on this man and this couch.
Sidder og kigger på den her mand, som lige er blevet helbredt.
Verse 12.
Vers 12.
After an hour and a half of struggling,
efter en time eller halvanden time med besvær.
No, my Bible doesn't say that.
Det står der ikke i min bibel.
My Bible says immediately.
Min bibel siger med det samme.
Immediately he arose.
Straks rejste han sig.
Immediately he got up.
Han rejste op med det samme.
Immediately he was made whole.
Øjeblikkeligt var han helbredt.
Did he have to say Hail Marys?
Var han nødt til at sige Hail Maria?
Did he have to do penance? Penance.
I don't know what that is.
Prove himself worthy of receiving the forgiveness or blessing.
Blev de nødt til at tjene sig værdige til at modtage den her velsignelse?
Did he have to give alms to the poor?
Var de nødt til at give penge til de fattige?
Did he have to think happy thoughts?
Var han nødt til at tænke glade tanker?
A positive mental outlook.
Positiv syn på tingene.
Or did he just respond to the word of God?
Eller svarede han bare på Guds ord?
He arose, took up the bed and left the building.
Han rejste sig og tog straks borgen og forlod stedet.
And look at the result.
Og kig på resultatet af det.
So that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this."
Så de alle sammen blev helt ude af sig selv og priste Gud og sagde, "Aldrig har vi set noget lignende."
And I put it to you, what they said that day is true.
Og jeg påstår, at de ting, de sagde den dag, er sande.
In the history of man, man has never seen anything like this from any other person.
For i hele vores historie som mennesker her har vi aldrig set noget lignende.
For there is only one name under heaven whereby man may be saved.
For der er kun ét navn under himlen.
There is only one mediator between God and man.
Der er kun én mægler mellem Gud og
mennesker. There is only one who will be the righteous judge proclaiming sin and salvation.
Der er kun én som vil være retfærdig dommer og proklamere synd.
Who holds the power to heal,
som har magt til at helbrede,
and forgive,
og tilgive.
This is such a good story.
Det er en fantastisk historie.
Because if he could heal that man today, that day,
for hvis han kunne helbrede den her mand den dag,
it means he can forgive us today.
Så betyder det, at han kan tilgive os i dag.
It means that we are amazed.
Det betyder, at vi er
by his grace.
Vi er forundret over hans nåde.
By his power.
Hans magt.
And his authority.
Hans autoritet.
And you know what gets me?
Og ved du hvad det er, der slår mig?
Is there will be people who read this story.
At der vil være folk, som læser den her historie.
And they will try and tell us it's just a fable.
Og de vil så forsøge at fortælle os, at det bare er en falsk historie.
Could you imagine asking the people in the crowd after the meeting broke up? Was that a fable?
Prøv at forestille jer at spørge nogle af de mennesker, som faktisk så det her lige efter det var sket, og spørge dem, om det bare var en
Was it a sleight of hand, a trick?
Var det bare et eller andet trick, eller en eller anden måde, han narrede dem på?
Or was it the power of God?
Eller var det Guds magt?
But you know what?
Men ved du hvad?
We see today.
Men i dag, der ser vi
people getting healed.
Folk, som bliver helbredt.
Oh, some of them are physical.
Nogle af dem er fysisk.
But boy, a lot of them are spiritual.
Men mange af dem, der er det åndeligt.
We see people who were sick.
Vi ser folk, som var syge.
With the sin of the world,
med verdens synd,
sick with the ravages of life,
syg med livets hårdhed,
maimed by their own idiotic attitudes and actions,
såret af deres egne idiotiske handlinger og tanker,
and God comes along and heals us of our infirmities.
Så kommer Gud ind og helbreder os for vores mangler.
And do you remember the day he said to you, arise?
Og kan du huske den dag, hvor han sagde til dig, rejs dig.
Take up your bed and walk.
Tag din borg op og gå.
You see, that bed was what confined you.
Det var den borg, som fangede dig, som begrænsede dig.
The amazing thing as we go through some of these gospel accounts is that these people who are on these beds.
Det er utroligt, når vi går igennem de her evangeliekilder, at der var de her mennesker, som var på de her borger.
They were told to take their beds with them.
De blev bedt om at tage deres borgere med sig.
You know, I don't see anywhere where Jesus has this stack of wheelchairs and crutches in a corner.
Jeg ser aldrig nogen steder, at Jesus havde sådan en bunke med kørestoler med borgere over hjørnet.
No, they had to take their bed home.
De fik besked på at tage dem med sig.
They had to take their couch home.
De var nødt til at tage deres, ja, deres sofa med sig.
And I think that there's something there for us.
Jeg tror, der er noget her for os at forstå.
Because you see, when people would look at those beds,
for se, hvis folk de så på de her senge, de her borgere,
whether it was the person who was in the bed or the person who knew the one who was in the bed,
uanset om det var personen, som var i borgen, eller som kendte personen, som var i borgen,
they were reminded that God healed them.
Så blev de nemlig mindet om, at Gud havde helbredt personen.
They remembered what God had taken them out of.
Så huskede de på, hvad Gud havde gjort for dem.
They realized they could never go back to that bed.
De indså, at de aldrig kunne gå tilbage til den der borg.
For God had done a mighty work in their life.
For Gud havde gjort et enormt stort værk i deres liv.
Arise, take up your bed and walk.
Rejs dig, tag din borg og gå.
We see this weekend.
Vi ser den her weekend.
The picture of a servant.
Et billede af en tjener.
One who was immediately about business.
En som straks tog sig af sagerne.
The business of loving his creation.
Og det var missionen var at elske den, sin egen skabelse.
Healing and restoring.
Helbrede og bringe tilbage igen.
And commanding them to take up their bed and walk.
Og bede dem om at tage deres egen borg op og gå.
Let's pray.
Lad os bede.
Father, we thank you for this time you've given us tonight.
Far, vi takker dig for den tid du har givet os her i aften.
And Lord, I pray that you would minister to us this weekend.
Og far, jeg beder dig om at du vil virkelig tale til vores hjerter den her weekend.
Simply, Lord, open our eyes.
Åbn ganske enkelt vores øjne.
That we may see more of Jesus.
Så vi må se mere af Jesus.
That we may see him in his beauty.
Vi må se ham i hans skønhed.
In his servanthood.
I hans tjener,
in his loving kindness.
I hans kærlighed.
And his grace extended toward us.
Og den nåde, som er rakt ud til os.
And Lord, we thank you for gathering us together as a group.
Og her vi takker dig for at du har samlet os her sammen.
And blessing us with your presence.
Du har velsignet os med dit nærvær.
And we praise you in Jesus' name.
Og vi priser dig i Jesu navn.
Amen. As we stated before the conference began.
Som vi sagde inden konferencen gik i gang.
We have chosen the whole book of Mark.
Så har vi valgt hele evangeliet af Markus.
To go over to look at a picture of Jesus.
For at gå igennem den og kigge på billedet af Jesus.
In a sense this is an interactive conference.
Og på en eller anden måde så er det en interaktiv konference.
What would be good for you to do?
Det der vil være godt for jer at gøre
is in review for tonight.
Er for på baggrund af i aften.
Maybe before you crash out.
Og gennemgå det vi har lavet i aften.
Read chapter 1 through 3.
Prøv at læse kapitel 1 til 3.
A way of putting the other events into focus of what we're giving you.
Det var en god måde at ligesom samle de andre handlinger sammen til det der vi studerer.
Tomorrow David is going to give us chapter 4 through 6.
I morgen så vil David undervise os i kapitel 4 til 6.
If you want to study ahead, that's fine. If not, we'll even encourage you afterwards to review 4 through 6.
Hvis du gerne vil læse lidt fremad, så er det fint, så kan du også gøre det. Ellers så vil vi bede dig om bagefter og studere det nærmere, når vi har haft undervisning.
One of the things we've learned over the years.
En af de ting vi har lært gennem årene.
Is reading the word of God doesn't hurt.
At læse Guds ord, det gør ikke ondt.
You'll be blessed by it.
Du bliver enormt velsignet af det.
Amen.